Every episode so far has been about the relationship. The targeting, the testing, the extraction, the discard itself. This one is about what comes after, and I want to start by being honest about what after actually feels like, because the word recovery makes it sound like healing from an injury. It is closer to coming back from a long stay in a foreign country, where you were not allowed to be a citizen. You return fluent in someone else's language, and rusty in your own. The question people ask in this phase is not, how do I get over them? It is the stranger, harder question underneath. Who was I before all this, and is that person still in there? It helps to name what the discard actually removes, because it is more than a partner. A relationship run as extraction does not just take your time and your care. Over months or years, it quietly relocates your center of gravity. Your preferences get rerouted through another person's reactions. Your memory of events gets checked against their version before you trust it. Your sense of what is normal gets calibrated to a household where the rules change with someone else's mood. When that person exits, abruptly, cruelly, or with a replacement already installed, what collapses is not only the future you planned, it is the reference frame you were using to understand the present. That is why the early weeks feel less like sadness and more like disorientation. You are not grieving a person so much as standing in a room where all the furniture has been removed, including the walls. This is also why well-meaning advice lands so badly in this phase. Just move on, you're better off, time heals. Each one assumes the problem is attachment to a person, when the actual problem is that your instruments were tampered with. You would not tell someone whose compass was magnetized to simply walk in the right direction. First, you fix the compass. Rebuilding after a discard happens in three layers, and they are not optional or interchangeable. Reality first. What actually happened. Identity second. Who you are without the role you were assigned. And self third. The reclaimed, self-directed life that grows on top of those two. People suffer most when they try the layers out of order, building a new life on a reality that is still negotiable. So we are going to take them in order. One frame before we begin. Nothing in this episode requires you to diagnose the other person, hate them, or even understand them. Rebuilding is not an act of opposition. It is an act of jurisdiction, taking back the authority to describe your own experience, set your own direction, and occupy your own life. The discard removes the person from your life. The recovery removes their authority from your head. Those are two different events. And only one of them is up to you. The first layer of rebuilding is reality itself. And if that sounds dramatic, consider what the extraction phase did to it. Gaslighting, blame reversal, the slow rewrite of shared history. The cumulative effect is that you exit the relationship with a disputed past. Not a painful past, a disputed one. Whole episodes of your own life exist in two versions, the one you experienced and the one you were told you experienced. Early recovery is often less sad than it is vertiginous, because you cannot grieve events you are still not sure happened the way you remember them. So the first job is stabilization, and it is unglamorous. You pick a small number of anchor events, 5 or 10 moments that matter, and you establish them the way you would establish facts, not feelings. What was said, what was done, dates, what happened next. Write the version you remember, plainly. In the private record we have talked about all season. Do not argue with the doubts, just note them. He said he never promised. I remember the promise, written on this date. The point is not to win a trial. The point is that your memory, written down once and left alone, stops being a daily negotiation. Reality does not need to be reproven every morning. It needs to be recorded once and trusted. Expect the rewrite to keep arriving after the relationship ends, through mutual friends, through the person's new narrative, through your own well-trained inner censor repeating their framings out of habit. A sentence like, maybe I really was too sensitive, will surface months later, uninvited, and it will feel like a thought. It is not a thought. It is an echo. Learn to hear the difference. A thought moves you toward something. An echo just returns you to the courtroom where you always lose. When an echo arrives, you do not have to defeat it. You have to identify it. That is their version, not my memory. And let it pass without convening the trial again. And a caution about the most seductive trap in this layer. The urge to get the other person to confirm your reality. One honest conversation, one admission, one moment where they say, yes, that happened, and it was wrong. This is the closure fantasy, and it is worth naming plainly, because it sends more people back into contact than loneliness does. A person who managed your reality for years does not stop managing it at the exit. Any confirmation you extract will arrive with a twist, an excuse, a countercharge, a partial admission that reopens the whole dispute. Closure is not something they hand you. It is something that arrives quietly on the day you realize you stopped needing their signature on your own experience. The record, the anchors, the identified echoes, that is the foundation, and it does not require their participation. Once the ground stops moving, the second layer comes into view, identity. And here the discovery that waits for almost everyone is how much of the personality you were performing was actually a role written for the arrangement. The caretaker, the calm one, the one who absorbs, smooths, apologizes first, wants nothing, needs less. It is worth asking, gently and without judgment, which of those traits walked into the relationship with you and which were assigned seating. The answer is rarely clean, but the asking matters because the role does not dissolve on its own when the relationship ends. It keeps running, in your friendships, at work, in your own head, until you consciously retire it. A practical way in is the smallest possible territory. Preference. After years of calibrating to someone else, what do I actually want is a genuinely hard question. So do not start with the big version. Start absurdly small. What do you want for dinner when nobody's reaction matters? Which route do you prefer to walk? What music do you put on when the only listener is you? This sounds trivial, and it is not. Preference is a muscle, and in an extraction relationship, it is the muscle that gets deliberately atrophied because a person with clear stated wants is expensive to manage. Every small preference you notice and honor is a rep. You are not finding yourself. You are re-inhabiting yourself, one low-stakes choice at a time. The harder identity work is reclaiming the traits that were turned against you. This deserves real attention, because it is where people most often amputate something good. Your empathy was mined, so you consider becoming harder. Your loyalty was exploited, so you consider becoming colder. Your generosity was the supply line, so you consider shutting it down. Hear this clearly, the problem was never the trait. The problem was the arrangement the trait was poured into. Generosity with a person who reciprocates is a different substance entirely than generosity poured into a ledger that never balances. The goal of this layer is not to become someone the pattern cannot use. That person would be a stranger and a diminished one. The goal is to become someone who chooses where the generosity goes at a pace that lets you watch what comes back. There will be an identity crisis in here, and I want to normalize it rather than rush you past it. Somewhere in this layer, usually a few months in, there is a stretch where the old self is gone, the role is retired, and the new self is not yet legible. It feels like being no one. It is not being no one. It is being unassigned, which feels the same from the inside, but is actually the first honest state you have occupied in years. Do not fill the vacancy prematurely with a new relationship, a new identity, or a new person to manage. Let the unassigned period do its work. The preferences, the reclaimed traits, the record of what actually happened, they are quietly assembling someone, and that someone is not a renovation of the person from the targeting phase. It is the person who was there before the projection ever landed. The third layer is reclaiming the self, and it begins with the emotion people are most afraid of in this phase, grief. Not because grief is dangerous, but because grieving a person who hurt you feels illegitimate, as though mourning them retroactively endorses the treatment. So here is the permission, stated as fact. You are not grieving the person as they were at the end. You are grieving the person from the targeting phase, the future you were promised, and the version of yourself that believed both. That is a real loss, and it was real even though the person it was attached to turned out to be a projection. You can grieve a mirage. Travelers die of thirst chasing them. The water was false, but the thirst was true. Underneath the grief, waiting its turn, is anger. And anger after a discard carries its own shame, especially if you are cast as the volatile one. Let me offer a reframe that has helped a lot of people. Anger in recovery is not a regression. It is often the first sign that your self-worth has come back online, because anger is the emotion that says, I did not deserve that. A sentence the arrangement trained you never to finish. The goal is not to suppress it or to let it drive. The goal is to let it inform. Anger is data about where your boundaries should have been, which makes it the raw material for where they will be. Write what the anger knows. It is usually a very accurate inventory. Now, forward motion, because reclaiming a self is not only excavation, it is construction. The most reliable structure is unglamorous, routines that belong to you. Sleep at a steady hour. Move your body daily, not as punishment but as jurisdiction. Your body spent years as a stress container for someone else's weather, and movement is how it learns whose house it is. Reconnect with the people you went quiet with. The unedited connection from episode 9 becomes, in this phase, the fabric of your days. And choose one thing, one, that is yours and new. A class, a project, a place you go, a skill you were always told was impractical. Not to become impressive. To have a part of your life with no history in it. The past will always be the past. The recovery needs somewhere to live that the past has never been. And through all three layers, the same boundary holds the construction site together. The information diet. Every check of their social media. Every mutual friend debrief. Every reread of old messages is a delivery of the old reality into the new one. This is not about pretending they do not exist. It is about recognizing that contact with the story, in any form, restarts the negotiation you have already settled. No contact is not a punishment for them, and low contact is not a compromise position for your shared obligations. They are both the same thing. Quarantine, maintained until your own reality is load-bearing on its own. You will know it is when a piece of news about them arrives and lands as weather. Noted, felt, and passed, instead of a summons back into the courtroom. Let me close with the question this whole phase secretly runs on. How will I know when I am back? The honest answer is that you will not return to the person from before the relationship, and you should not want to. That person's openness is what was targeted. What emerges instead is better described as yourself with the reference frame restored. The same empathy, the same generosity, the same capacity for attachment, now attached to instruments you trust and boundaries you built from evidence. The markers are quiet ones. You tell a story from the relationship and do not check anyone's face for the correct reaction. A small no leaves your mouth without a 3-paragraph defense attached. You notice a preference, state it, and nothing in you braces. Someone kind arrives, and instead of scanning them for the pattern, you find you can simply observe. Because the threshold you decided on in advance is doing the scanning for you, calmly, in the background. There will be setbacks, and I want to pre-forgive them for you. A date on the calendar, a song, a dream, a Hoover arriving at your weakest hour, and suddenly you are back in the fog for a day or three. This is not the rebuild failing. Grief after betrayal moves like a tide, not a staircase, and a bad day at month 6 is not the same bad day you had at week 1, even when it feels identical. The difference is underneath. The anchors hold, the record is still there, the routines resume. Recovery is not measured by the absence of hard days. It is measured by how much less of you each hard day gets to keep. If you take one practice from this episode, make it this one. And it is the simplest in the whole series. Tonight, write 2 sentences. The first, what actually happened to me was, and finish it plainly, without softening, without their vocabulary. The second, what I am building now is, and finish that one too, however small the building currently is. Date the page. Put it somewhere you will find it in 6 months. Those 2 sentences are the whole arc of this season. Reality and self, the truth and the future, sitting on 1 page, in your handwriting, requiring nobody's signature but yours. That is where this season ends. Not with the person who discarded you, but with the person who remained. The pattern took the time it took. It does not get the rest. You were targeted for what was best in you, and the final twist of the whole story is that those same qualities, the loyalty, the empathy, the generosity, the persistence, are precisely the materials the rebuilt life is made of. They were never the problem. They were the prize. Now they are yours again, and this time, you keep the ledger. The resources linked in the show notes, the after-discard toolkit, the coping timeline, the safety plan, and crisis support are there for every layer we covered today. Thank you for doing the hardest work there is, coming back to yourself.